cars will be coming in. In a few moments, we're going to ask Andrew to lead us in open word of prayer. Dave has the Psalms, number 319, and we'll lead us in our song service tonight. For those who didn't get an opportunity to take the Lord's Supper, Dan will be taking care of that. We have lots of people out of town that continue to pray for them. I know that Tony and Trey are going out of town tomorrow, too, so let's remember them. They're going to be back on Wednesday. Continue to pray for Pam, of course, and Warren, one and two in our town, too. And, of course, PJ is up for the invitation on Wednesday. So that's what all the announcements we have right now. But if there's any more, we'll listen up. Now, Dave will lead us in our song.
May the grace of sweet Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so blessed to be able to come to thy presence as a congregation, as a local congregation, and part of the universal church, that we're able to come together to worship thee in spirit and truth. May everything that is said and done be according to thy will, that we remember to the morning Bible classes and try to apply each act of worship as well as the concepts and trying to apply all these different passages to establish the relationship that we should have with you as well as with our brothers and our sisters that are here. We are so thankful that we are able to have each other to help encourage to one another, to build each other up in such a way to where we can be well-pleasing. We ask you that we continue to be well-pleasing in your sight each and every day, that the words that we speak, that the things that we think of, and the steps that we go are according to thy will and are well-pleasing, and our sacrifice is always being continually offered up to you. Help us to put you first in our decisions and make wise decisions. Help us to be able to make the better decisions each day. There are times in our lives that we may be faced with a situation in which we do give in to sin. We ask you that we come to you immediately and ask you for forgiveness. We also ask you that we take immediate actions and that we try to learn from our mistakes, repent, and to make that relationship right. We ask you that we can recognize these events when they do take place, because we want to be able to have the confidence with you that according to your will, that we're continuing to do what you have asked us to do, and that we're continuing to be edifying and to be closer and stronger to you each day. We're so thankful for the members that are here. We are so thankful that we each have different abilities and different talents. We each have different perspectives and looking through your word to where we are able to have a better understanding. Help us to continue to have a better understanding each and every day. Help us to, on a daily basis, to prepare ourselves and to meditate upon your word. Help us to be ready to give an account in case when anyone asks questions, to be able to give a defense and to spread your word in the best that we can. We ask you that we can develop our abilities and our strengths in the areas that we need to work on. Help us to be able to be better and try to use what we do have each day. We ask you that you may be with those who are unable to be here. There are many members here who are off traveling, being with other family members, and we ask you that they may have a safe return so that we can continue to be closer together. We also ask you that you meet with those who have been mentioned sick. There are a number of those who are undergoing surgeries and recovering. There are others that are still needing of test results. We're so thankful for the progress that we have seen. We're so thankful that we know that you are always watching over us, that you have always have looked after us of our physical needs. And most importantly, you have always been there to look after our spiritual needs and make sure that we have always have been protected of, and that you will allow us not to be tempted that we cannot handle. You allow these things so that we can become stronger, that we can put our faith and trust in you. Help us to continue to do so. We ask you that the lesson that may be delivered tonight will be according to your will, that things that Brother Chuck has prepared, that he has a ready remembrance, and that we have open hearts and be willing to search the scriptures and to see everything that is said is true, and that we can also apply these things to our lives. And it's important for us to continue to try to analyze and examine ourselves and to always be on our guards. Again, help us not only throughout this service, but on an each and every day basis. Help us to be closer to you, and help us to always to put our faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's a prayer in honesty for protecting the general and best of the number of lost deaths in terms of numbers, 735.
One flower tray ends in Dark Valley. No hope whenever I see. They searched to heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nailed, his soul was riven. He gave his life for even me. He had the brother his riches with calmness sweet and serene, came down from heaven and gave his life blood to make the vilest sinner clean. Oh, what a Savior!
Thank you. We also join with you to thank for the Father, we continue our prayer at this time with the fruit of vine, which is symbolic, Christ's blood, likewise shed for us. We pray that those individuals who are partaking of it at this hour and examine their conduct over the last week, they've thought back on their actions, the things that they did, the things that they have left undone. If they have repented in any areas where they may have fallen short, that they are indeed right with you at this hour. So they go through this act to remember Christ and all the people, all the angels that he went through. In his name, we pray. Amen. Number three, which I didn't finish up, which I did do there. But let me just refresh you on what we've already talked about. In talking about a strong church, we first dealt with misconceptions of what makes for a strong church. A strong church never has problems. Wrong. A strong church cannot become weak. Yes, it can. A strong church is not strong if it goes out of existence. That's not necessarily true. Churches are in rural areas where the kids have grown up and they've left. A strong can only be strong if it's small or large. No, that's not true either way. A strong is only as strong as its weakest member. No.
Well, that might work for a team, but it doesn't work for a church.
And so we started off our first lesson by saying a strong church adores and abhors. And we talked about how it adores the Lord, adores truth, adores one another. And abhors false teaching, false influences throughout that. Then we talked about how a strong church leaves and cleaves. Because as Christ presented the Corinthian brethren as a chaste virgin to Christ, we're married to Christ. And so we left the world. We talked about a number of things within that aspect. The evil influences that were out there. And so we left those things, and then we were to cleave. Of course, we turned around and we were cleaving to righteousness and, of course, the holy pattern that was given to us. All right. That brings us to our last two lessons. Lord willing, next Sunday evening, we'll finish up with grows and sows. A strong church grows and sows. But what's tonight? Deals and deals. Kind of know what that's about from our study of the New Testament church, dealing with discipline. But before we talk about that aspect, let's first of all deal with the idea that a church is going to have problems. It happens. But the problems that a local church faces come in all shapes and sizes. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're just starting off on that. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's just spend a 10 minutes here or so talking about the different ways problems can arise. Let me just stay alert to them. We talked in early on in our studies on this that problems will come up, and we're not afraid of problems. We don't deal with those problems. One of the shapes and sizes that a problem can occur, and that is with controlling members. Peter knew about that. 1 Peter chapter 5, he said in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you. Lords being entrusted to you. Don't do that. Why? That's my church. Or the others might say, it's our church. We made the rules here. You guys follow. You be quiet. We don't want any input. We are being lords over this. Controlling members. My way or the highway. You guys remember, probably over a month ago, I talked about the dangers of grumbling and complaining that happened in the New Testament, especially with us building, getting a building. I said if they gave everybody here floor plans and said, draw up a set of plans, everybody's just going to be different. We have opinions. We have different tastes. I get that. Nothing wrong with that, of course. That's understandable. But when we talk about this, I think what comes to mind is 3 Peter. Diotrephes. You want to talk about a controlling member? There you go. Diotrephes is a controlling member. You read 3 John verses 9 and 10, and you're going to see about Diotrephes rejecting John who wanted to come, and anybody else who wanted to receive John. Folks, we have to make sure that we are not that type of person. But again, problems will surface, and so then you simply have to deal with them. And John mentioned in 3 John, what do you think John was going to do about that? Well, here's what John said. When he mentioned about Diotrephes in verse 9, of 3 John. Here's what he says in verse 10. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. Not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. I'm going to call his hand on those things. And we'll talk about how you deal with problems in the second half of our lesson. But right now, how do some of these problems creep up? Well, controlling members. Philippians chapter 4. There's something else that can happen within a local congregation. I implore Judah and Korah continued to be of the same mind in the Lord.
People having some problems? Were they in conflict with one another? We don't know a lot.
But I'll tell you, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, brethren need to be of the same mind and same judgment. They need to be perfectly joined together. And so feuding members can cause problems with a local congregation. Yeah, there's something wrong there if we just outright see brethren who don't talk to each other. I mean, if I just happen to notice and look across there, and then you come in, and somebody sees you, and you both kind of go, come on.
We better take care of it.
And so, again, problems that can creep up with the local congregation. What about wayward members? That can cause problems. We have discussed this in the past in our morning Bible study, but we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This will save some time a little bit later in our lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. Such sexual immorality is not even made known to Gentiles, the man has his father's wife. There's a problem. Wayward members cause problems. Acts chapter 20, false teachers can creep in. Remember when Paul took the elders at Ephesus aside and said savage wolves are going to come in? That can happen. And then you have a problem that can surface in a local congregation. And I have witnessed this on more than one occasion, is when Paul told Timothy, people who stop wanting sound doctrine, that can creep up in a local congregation. I spent 3 years in Nebraska. I won't say every sermon I think wasn't appropriate, but most of them. Most of them are. If you have people who do not want to hear sound doctrine, you're going to hear complaints constantly. It was turmoil all the time. And that's why Paul mentioned to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Remember, problems can arise in the congregation. We like sound doctrine. Just like these brethren. Remember, he said, they will not endure. They had been enduring, but they changed. Lack of teaching, that's the thing that can cause problems within a local congregation. Cliques within a congregation can cause problems. They have that at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 11 through 13. Some were calling themselves after Apollos, some were calling themselves after Cephas. Some were calling themselves after the Lord, of course. But there were problems within that congregation. When I preached this, he had a Bible study. These are different Bible studies. But that morning, I was asking different people, how did cliques start? I was interested in a number of the comments that were being made. One of the things that we discussed is family. I'd love for my kids to move me. I'd love to see Lucy and Ellen sitting right there, the grandbaby. You know, it'd be a danger for me every time we're together, every time we assemble. Can you hear those people? And I don't talk to any of you guys. I don't talk to you at all. And you know that. And then afterwards, hey, Joe and Leah, you want to come over to the house? I'm going to spend all my time with just family. Just family. You don't think that happens in local congregations? That built into the point? It's not quite that way, because we don't hate each other. But see, it can create cliques within a thing. Maybe even where you sit. I talked about that in larger congregations. If you always sit at that pew at that spot, you always know the people behind you doing the people in your front. It's almost like where you live. You know your neighbors to your side and across the street, but beyond that, you don't know anybody. And so you stay here, now I'm only going to associate with the people that I see familiar with me every Sunday. We don't have the problem. I'm just talking about how cliques can happen within a local congregation. Some in subtle ways. I don't hate anybody else. I just want to spend all my waking hours with them. I don't hate any of the members here. But I just don't want to be around them. I'd sooner be around the thing. Then, I've got to do my thing. And you see that a lot of places. It can happen because of family. A lot of family in the area. And I've even known people trying to talk from times past where people moved into the area, they got nobody. Because that family's got their bunch of family, and that family's got their bunch of family, These people moving don't have any family. They're not in the Democrat. I just tell you this, folks, be mindful of. In Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 13, you know that one, right? Here's a problem that can happen within a local congregation. Hypocrisy. Paul had to confront Peter. Right? Had to confront him face to face. Tell him. He was to blame for what had happened. In verse 11. When Peter had come to Antioch, Paul said, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. This was a problem. And it's a problem that can happen in local churches. You know what's a big one in local churches? This causes problems. Should. What is that? Hebrews chapter 5. See, watch out. This is talking about I'm talking about a problem that can exist in a local church. Here it is. Hebrews chapter 5. He says in verse 12, well, by this time you ought need to be teachers. Need to be teachers. It can be very hard on a local congregation if people say, I'm not teaching, when they have the ability to teach. And if they don't have the ability to teach, they can develop that ability to teach. They can go, we talked about people, go sit in on a class, learn how to teach. Lack of growth can cause problems within a local congregation. And I think it's great, you know, people are not going to complain to teach, but it's hard work. And I know that we have a lot of teachers in times past and other places who said, I don't mind doing it, but can you find somebody else? Oh, you don't want to serve the Lord? Well, they don't want to come across that way. But I'll tell you, it's a lot of work. I was telling in the class down there, I said, you know, teaching those young kids, I asked Debbie and the class, how old are those kids? And how old are those kids you're teaching? Well, they're 2 or 3 years old. She spends more time preparing for that class than I do teaching a bunch of adults. And I got a lot to prepare. It's a lot of work, and the teachers that go out of their way and preparing for class, it's just like, you know, I'll tell them, what's the big deal? Sitting there with 2 or 3 years old, down the Bible story. Well, there's more to it than that. You guys know it. You have to bring it down to their level. You have to understand, you know, they were talking about, needing something for the kids to identify with being thrown in a pit, maybe some earth, and they dig a hole in it. I'm saying, draw a picture. I understand the need to try to get them to identify with things and bring it down to their level. That's not an easy job to do. I couldn't have seen a bunch of the adults and thrown in with a bunch of 3 or 4 years. It's tough work. But again, it can create problems within a local church if nobody wants to do it. I guess it can also be a problem too when there's the forcing that's going on. Elders need to be mindful of that. Last thing ever we want to do is that, you know, somebody teach doesn't want to teach. I don't want somebody up here teaching. I don't want to be an adult class. I don't want to sit here and the guy's up there going, open your Bibles. I don't know why I'm on this anyway. Oh, we're all smiles, aren't we? We're all cheerful because you don't want to teach a class. No. But see, I'm telling you guys, problems within a local church all shape inside. All shape inside. And we need to be aware of that and be careful. And then, of course, the last one, before we get into our second half, go ahead. Acts chapter, come over here. That's it. Verse 19. Well, verse 18. Simon saw through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, he had a heart problem that Peter identified. We don't always know a heart problem. But I will take a point from this and say, problems can happen with the local church and other people. This lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. And we need to be willing to accept constructive criticism. There's this lady, Dorothy, at the group of that sweet lady from China. I mean, she just wants to make sure he's great. She took lunch one day. And we happen to be talking about this. And she knows, she said to me, she said, Chuck, she said, I can handle constructive criticism.
constructively. And that's what it's all about. We need to be receptive to that. It's hard when somebody's just being mean and nasty. Well, I get that. And we'll talk about that in a moment, about how to deal with problems that creep up. But folks, you can't stop problems. Because we bring baggage with us. None of us here are perfect. And that can be a problem if we think we are. If any of us here thinks that we're perfect, we're in trouble. And I've made mistakes, I'll make them again. And I need to be willing to admit that. Okay, so the time that we have remaining, folks, I did not do this on purpose. Maybe for the first four. But I did not do this on purpose. They all have a feeling. It just worked out that way. And it made for an interesting lesson. So in other words, how do you deal with problems? Number one, deal with it promptly. There it is. Right off the bat. Deal with it promptly. You guys remember Acts chapter 6, right? Here's a problem. Preaching widows are being neglected. And so we have in verse 2, then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve people. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business over the next 12 years. Right away. They did. They're hungry. You don't dilly-dally with that. But there was some murmuring going on. There's some complaining going on. And I like it. No, I don't like it. No, I don't complain. But folks, that's... Parents, any murmuring and complaining with the kids? Huh? You take them outside and shoot them? No. That's just kind of life, right? Murmur and complain, but you want to nip it is the point. You can't stop it from ever existing, but you just deal with it. And hopefully it's less and less, but if it happens, that's what I want to hear, buddy. Oh, I don't want to hear what you're murmuring and complaining. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Because there was a problem right here that it needed to be voiced. And we want to nip it. I don't want to find out that there's been some murmuring and complaining for the last 4 years. What have I been? I want to know about this. Him and I want to know about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that story with the brother caught in sexual immorality. What did he say? Deliver such a one to Satan. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. He started off by saying, you should have been mourning over this. You're not mourning over this. You should have been mourning over this. It should have bothered you. When should it have bothered you? Back when you first heard it. I mean, deal with it right away. Don't let it slide. Don't let it slide. And it might not be a problem that can be handled like, boom, it's gone. But at least we jump on it. Because here in Acts chapter 6, you think somebody could have said, appoint 7 men, that's going to take time. These people are starting. But we're getting on it, okay? But we're working towards it. So we're on the job. So dealing with problems probably is the key. Sense any problem. And so when we talk about, we spent a lot of time talking about church discipline last week. And I realize that if we want to err on the side of caution, because how much time goes into play when you go to Matthew chapter 18, go to a brother, he doesn't know if you take 2 or 3 with you, then tell it to the church, and if they don't listen. You know, those things take time. And so the whole process of delivering someone to Satan, you know, you send them 1 letter, you send them 2 letters, you send them 3 letters. You see, there are some liberties that we have in here, but the point is, if you're delivering a letter or if you're talking to the person, the point is you are dealing with it. We might think dealing with it promptly means to fix it. It's fixed. No. We're dealing with the problem promptly in order to fix it. You understand? But if we think if you deal with the problem tough today, it should be fixed today. Not necessarily. We're working towards that, and we're going to promptly get on that, and that's what you find there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because here's his brother. You need to take care of him. Now,
Here's the second truth. Not only do you deal with it promptly, and please remember how we talked about problems can creep up in all shapes and sizes. You guys remember, you guys did it that Sunday morning when I said, why do you think, or what do you think some of the possibilities are that they didn't discipline that person in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? And you said, well, maybe he was a wealthy man. Maybe he was a talented member, a good song leader. Somebody suggests the idea, maybe he has a lot of family that's there. Yeah, that would cause you not to be with a problem if the problem maker is related to after congregation. Well, that gets to our second two. Deal with the problem without partiality. Without partiality. Somebody came up with this one. I think it was Tim. And I hadn't even thought about that. Either. A possibility of not dealing with a wayward member is because of past performance. In other words, he says, well, we didn't deal with brother so-and-so 3 years ago who basically did something. We didn't deal with him, so why would we deal with this guy now? Yes, inconsistency that way. And we didn't deal with him, but we want to deal with him because, well, this guy's popular, this person wasn't. And that's Galatians chapter 2. That's when Paul confronted Peter. You love it, don't you? An apostle confronted an apostle. You know what I find? I just had a police officer, well, an ex-law officer, pulled over for speeding by another law officer, and he identified himself as a law officer of the past. You're up. There you go. Is your name? I got it. But I couldn't say, you know, I used to be a law officer. Oh, yeah, I remember you. No. And so what I'm saying is, you deal with problems without partiality. You want to know, this is a side point here, in Matthew chapter 19, 9. You want to know what preachers out there, and members, but I heard a lot of preachers that I know. You know what preachers change their stance on divorce and remarriage? Those who had it in the bank. All of a sudden, they restudied it, and wow, I was wrong. No, you weren't. Now that you have it in your family, now you turn a blind eye to it. You want to justify it. And nothing can cause more problems if we don't deal with it properly and without partiality. If you take care of this one, who's guilty? If somebody else is guilty, better be consistent along those lines. It'll destroy a church if you show partiality. Right? Very, very important. And some say, well, Chuck, that's easy for you to do. What if it was your son? I'm educating you guys. And so if my son was a member here, and he's wayward, and we're not dealing with it, then you stand up and be vocal. You can't be vocal. Because remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 was written to the church, not to the one that was in sin. The third piece. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I think we can figure out which it is. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, and not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among them. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not burden any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but we make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we command you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you are disorderly, in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness, eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-being. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I've got to go back there quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, at the end of this, when he told them, purge out the old leaven, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He said in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you need to go out of the world. But I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, who is a fornicator, covetous, or idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. So what have we learned in these readings? Deal with it properly. Deal with it properly. You know, you say, well, we dealt with it. Well, what'd you do? Well, we went and talked with them. And said, you know, you really ought to repent. And left it at that. What? You don't leave it at that. Or we told them, you know, Chuck, I went to that brother who's been, you know, if we use the example here, this brother that's caught up in sexual immorality, I went and told him to stop, and then we went bowling. Huh? Yeah. What are you doing that for? Well, it says not to eat. Oh, you can do anything else. That no, it was the social aspect. Making the person feel comfortable. Making them ashamed. They're not an enemy. Don't treat them like an enemy. You see, there's where we have to learn to do things properly when we're trying to help somebody. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We didn't read the verse, but he said this. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You do this without the desire to try to bring him back to the Lord, and he's done all the wrong way. You're not doing it properly. Hey, we need to get him out of here. No, no. You need to try to help this person to repent. That's the whole point of making a person feel ashamed. You want to know how not to make a person feel ashamed? Don't bring it. Don't bring it. No, if I've done something that's shameful, talk about something else. And I'll feel comfortable. And so he says, make them ashamed. Don't make them feel comfortable. Deal with it properly. And that's necessary. That's how you deal with problems that will come up with. That's how you do it the right way. You know, as I mentioned before, it was ludicrous. I walked into this meeting and someone says, we need to withdraw from Brother So-and-so.
Has anybody talked to him yet?
Let's jump to the end. You don't do that. That's like, you know, your child's done something wrong, and before you even talk to them, you grab them.
Let's go over their side of the story.
Let's get some information here. And maybe they've changed. Maybe they've repented already. We don't know. Communicate. Go for the proper steps, the way the Lord wants, because that demonstrates to them that we will favor. And so I can't stress enough that we as God's people need to do what he says. People say, I don't think you should say anything, you know. This whole idea of Romans 16, do we really need to do that? Well, it is in the Bible. And it is written for brethren. Now, this after he says, this is the way to remember this. We know Romans 16, 16, right? Churches and churches. Last part of that verse. What's the next of this? I urge you, brethren, note those who cause conversion and offense contrary to the doctrine of the Lord. Note them. What? And so, let's just do things properly. Perfect. Now, I'm not going to spend but 2 seconds on this thing because it's a little bit of an overlap. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 11, when there's a problem within the church there, you know, that's a little different. They were struck dead, Ananias and Sapphira alive. But at the end of it says, and the church grew. And so, we like the idea of dealing with a problem, whatever it might be, but purposefully. We have a purpose. We have a goal that's in mind. Not only to do it properly, but we've set our sights on things. We want the church to stay pure. We want to stay focused on our goal. You know what the devil can do to prevent us from reaching out and reaching the lost in the community? Get us to look inward. So if we're always looking inwardly, we can't look outwardly. The house divided against itself won't stand. He knows that. So I know there's going to be problems, but that doesn't bother me. Because if we don't deal with the problems the way the Lord wants, then we're in trouble. And so, don't be surprised, brethren. Don't get
Don't get all upset. I'm not going to get, like, all up in arms if we have a problem here. Like, okay, just a little fire we got to put out. That's all. We'll put it out and we'll move forward. That's the key. We're not going to dwell on the past. That's what's so wonderful about serving our Lord. But here's the reality. You have to think about it. Over there in 3 John gives us another key. Prepare yourself. Yeah, prepare yourself. When you deal with problems, be prepared for the fallout. What do you think might happen if you have to discipline somebody who has a lot of family within the congregation? What's a possible fallout?
It has happened more times than you can know.
Well, if you're going to withdraw from little Johnny, I'm out of here. My family's going. Well, they're going. I'm going with them. Well, they're going. I'm going with them. Before you know it, here's a church. This is what churches don't want to be a problem sometimes. They're afraid of the fallout. And I'm saying, brethren, be prepared for the fallout. Now, sometimes the fallout's pretty good. Good news, they came back. Good news, they came. But sometimes you have what we just read. Remember what Diotrephes? Those who wanted to were put out of the church. If you guys would have just kept your mouth shut and went along with Diotrephes, he wouldn't have put you out of the church. Mm-hmm. Speak up. Be prepared for the fallout. And what's the fallout? You're the bad guy. Oh, be prepared for that. Hopefully we don't have that, because if you nip it early enough, we can prevent all these things from really turning into a mountain. But it can happen, folks. I'm just trying to get us to see that problem. We need to heal, and then we need to heal. And I'm going to talk about the heal in just a moment here. It won't take me a couple of minutes. But be prepared for the fallout. There's a time when people get upset, they get angry. People don't like being corrected. And if you want to know an example of that, just turn over to Acts chapter 7. People who seem so loving and kind might not be able to handle any kind of criticism. And be prepared for that. You might be shocked and say, I thought we were close. I can't believe they got so upset over this. I was just saying, here's a little problem. We need to fix that. And then people will overreact. It can happen. And it does happen. They close their ears just here. Yeah, I wasn't brethren, but you see how they didn't want to hear what you had to say. And so, with a couple of minutes left, how does the church heal? How does the church heal? You deal and you heal. Sometimes because of the fallout, sometimes problems. Philippians tells us to, when Paul talks about this, about pressing ahead, moving ahead. Get out of the past. Don't be stuck in the past. And I have to give you this. There were some brethren there who knew what I was talking about. If anybody here has ever been to Athens, Alabama, I know you have. I asked the men, or a whole bunch of people that were there this week, does anybody know how many faithful churches are in Limestone County? And the guy said 65. I thought there was about 40. But there's what he said, there's 65 faithful churches in Christ. And I said, isn't that wonderful? They couldn't get along. This guy, they had beards. Oh, we're not putting up with that. This guy wore hats. They fought over every little thing. They split. Well, now they all get along. Why? Time. They had forgotten. We don't even know why we left. We broke off from them years ago. You know what? I was a generation before us. And so what I'm saying is, what can happen is time can heal things. And we have to be patient with that, because we'd like it to go away immediately, the problem, and maybe the hurt that was there. You know, the way Diotrephes treated these people, these people that were put out of the church. Could you imagine assembling with them? They're going,
I can't believe you put us out of the church.
Amen. That's his problem. Let's move on. Every week.
I can't believe it.
Every week it's Diotrephes. Guys, you got to move on. Let's go on. Let's preach the word. We got a new congregation now.
God isn't even a part of this. But I still can't believe he did that to us. Move on. Hebrews 12, right? Set your eyes on the mark, verse 1 and 2. Reach it. Don't give up. Pray without ceasing, Paul told the Thessalonian brethren, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Pray. You have a problem, pray about it.
And that gives you strength to not only if you were treated wrong, but prayer to help deal with whatever is happening within the congregation. And we really need that. And then, of course, respecting the head in all of this. Don't ever second guess the Lord. Matthew 28:18, he has all the authority. And so what we talked about last week in this study, the brethren there understood, and yeah, actually a good discussion about that, is churches are going to have problems. They come in all shapes and sizes, but they deal and they heal. But deal with it the way the Lord intended. The healing process is there. And we can have that true joy of knowing you're doing the will of the Lord. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice again and say rejoice. I hope we never, ever, ever, ever go this way. But I want to educate you, some of you young Christians. I want to tell you straight up that sometimes, I mean, God hates division, but sometimes divisions are good. It's called purging. And if people who are going to be evildoers and evil workers, and they want to leave, what did Jesus say? There's the door. Do you all see how he goes? He already told them. You want to follow them? I mean, the majority stopped following Jesus there in John 6. And he turns to the 12 and says, do you also want to go? We just want to do the will of God. We're a family of God. And as long as we have that same mind towards that unity that we have, we're going to be fine. And we'll deal with whatever comes up. But for those who are not wanting to do the Lord's will, they're going to have problems. With problems. I'm serious. If you push the Lord out of the picture, you're going to have problems with problems. And I'm trying to tell you, those of us that are close to the Lord and strong, don't worry about problems. Problems come up, we'll just deal with them and we'll move on. Okay? But those who can't handle problems are setting themselves up for some serious problems. And so tonight, if you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to become one, become a part of God's family. Go ahead and first be part of the church that we're talking about. A strong church, Jesus and Jesus. A strong church at doors and doors. And so where are you? Are you a child of God who's faithful? If you wandered away, we can come back tonight. Take advantage of this opportunity to pray with me for you. But if you're subject to invitation anyway, will you let it know? You know, as you stand together and sing Psalm number 31.
First waited, now do you believe? Almost persuaded, Christ to receive. Sings out some song to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more.
and check for another one of the lessons. It's good to see here with everyone, and in Florida, we turned him on to 690, and the fifth one was from the first person, and then
the same power of blessing to the heart.